welcome everybody to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing to do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. Wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and who do we got on the Gospel Bus tonight, Sister Ruth?
Well, we always have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels, and they always keep busy. And then we have you, Sister Emily, her dad. It's wonderful to also have him, and me.
All right. Well, Sister Emily, we're going to start with you. What kind of prayer requests or prayer praises do you got for us tonight?
Continued prayer for my dad, who hasn't been feeling too well himself, or naturally for our first responders, for the team here today with our broadcast, and our first responders as always.
Amen.
And we also, Kenny, we also got a couple, about four crazy pussycats on the Gospel Bus tonight, okay?
What was that again?
We also have four crazy pussycats loose on the Gospel Bus.
Well, as long as they don't get underfoot and cause someone a trip, and reminding everybody that we got a bathroom on the back of the bus for your convenience, please hold on to the overhead racks or seat backs for your safety. Accompany any smart children, and please lock the door so you don't get no unexpected guests. Amen. No smoking on the bus, and don't light it on the bus, or else you'll be taking a ride with the Six Eyes police on the outside of this bus. Amen.
And Rue needs to watch the crumbs over there because if she makes a mess, you got to clean it with the toothbrush.
Ah, the train dirty. Okay.
Okay.
Now we'll
and
make
Ruth,
you clean the whole bus with the toothbrush.
I just have some physical ailments. I just want the Lord to work with and pray, people pray for me. And I'll continue to pray for, of course, Em's dad and, of course, Emily, and she's had some things too, but she's a strong one. She'll get through it.
Okay, and Em, just wanted to remind you, tonight we're going to start with a, and our other listeners, we added something new tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Tonight we'll be starting with our first segment with Timothy Gruber as part of the Blind Ministry, because this show is sponsored to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You can check us out at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. And Timothy Gruber is going to give us the Hebrew word of the week. So you want to check that out tonight.
Ooh.
Amen.
We're going to get down and boogie.
Yeah, that's what we're working on. So just thought you'd like to tell us some good things that happened to you this weekend.
Oh, boy. God actually gave me the strength to walk 11 miles on Mother's Day to get out from my dad's apartment all the way to Ostenburg Rehab to be able to spend the Mother's Day with both my mother and my aunt at the same time, and also got to see other family while I was there.
Praise the Lord for his guidance, darling.
I also been able to keep my temper in check a little bit more this week, too. And that's with God's help.
All right, so here we go with some boogie music. Amen.
God is for us, who can ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against us?
Leaving whose words alone can change. Hey, what's up, rehabs across the world? Trent Shelton here. Another week, another video. TrentShelton.com. Facebook, like Trent Shelton. Twitter, Instagram, Trent Shelton. I'm going to tell you this every single week. Thank you to everybody who shares my videos and takes it across the world. It's because of you. If it's on your heart, please do it again. Please share it. Please like it. I'm trying to think of the best way to put this, but I think there's only one way to put it. Stop looking so thirsty. Stop looking so easy. Stop looking so trashy and find some class about what you do. Let someone want you instead of acting like you need them all the time. Let someone meet your standard instead of you lowering yours to meet theirs all the time. Don't allow your loneliness to make you think that every time somebody smiles at you means that they want you. Never let your thirst cause your perception to mislabel someone's intention. Learn how to take a compliment without creating something in your mind that doesn't exist. Every compliment that someone gives you, yeah, I know it feels good to get compliments all the time. I'm not saying that. But every time somebody gives you a compliment, it shouldn't make you fall in love with that person. Another thing, stop making yourself so available, people. There's nothing special about being easy access. Stop advertising yourself as wholesale when your value should be something that can't be bought. Everybody doesn't deserve you, so stop giving your heart, stop giving your body, stop giving your mind, your soul to any and everybody. Just because they tell you the right things doesn't make them the right one. Just because the first date went right doesn't make them wifey, doesn't make them husband material. Stop searching for it and let God bring it to you. And another thing, acting desperate for attention is not attractive. Not respecting yourself for attention is not attractive. Begging to be noticed is not attractive. Insecure people do that. Insecure people want attention. Secure people demand respect. Insecure people brag and show off. Secure people are humble. Insecure people pretend to be perfect. Secure people embrace their flaws. There's beauty in confidence, but confidence isn't about showing off what you got. It's more about being secure in what you lack. Confidence is saying, this is me and all my flaws, and I can care less about what you think because what you think doesn't make me who I am. Confidence doesn't lust for recognition, people, but insecurities do. Thirsty people do. And I'll leave you with this. The new definition of thirsty is someone who's addicted to getting attention and will do anything to get it. So never let that definition define you. But like I always tell you in every single video, it all starts with you. Let's retire those thirsty ways. It's rehab time.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, at gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X. S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. And now it is time for the Success Bible Memory Verse of the Week. And this week we are going into Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12.
And it shall come to pass at the time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and will punish the men that are settled on their lees that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil.
Ooh, that's a good one. All right, let's hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
And it shall come to pass at the time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil.
A little warning when you want to sit on your behind and say you're doing something for God, he says he's going to punish you if you're settled on your lees, your jeans, because you say he will neither do good nor evil. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Zephaniah 1 and verse 12. Zephaniah 1 and 12. Amen. All right. Let's take that to heart tonight. Amen. As we roll on with the Success Gospel Bus, and now we're going to see if Ruthie has any more for us tonight as we get ready to go into some more boogie music tonight. Come on, Ruthie. You got
it. Yeah, I'm going to pray for lost souls. And Orlie, she... who knows, maybe someday she will find the Lord. She's Jewish. I'd like to see that happen for her.
All right. Any good things that happened this week for you, Ruth?
So I praise the Lord. Amen. Or you guys all, I put it on the wolf list or something. Yeah, so we just praise the Lord for being alive still. And Jesus is coming. Amen.
Well, tell us a little bit about your ma this week, Em. Anything new happen with her?
Well, while I was there, she wanted to go for a walk. She, the one occupational therapist, was there. And she told me, she says, even though your mom wants to use her walker, she says, have her chair behind her in case she gets tired. Well, while I was there, my mom took and walked all the way from her room to my aunt's room and then walked from my aunt's room up to the front desk and all the way back to her room and only had to stop twice.
Well,
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And for that, I think we'll play this song for her. How's that?
Yeah, we got to do a couple for Mom tonight.
Well, this one's special for her. Listen up and listen good.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hey.
Hey. Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes, come on and lift your hands and say it.
When I call your name,
when I call your name,
said it's just like fire. Oh,
And also for your mom, Em, I think this song is appropriate for what you just said. He's still able. Amen.
Many times in life, we focus on all that we don't have, and it makes us worry. But today, I want to remind you of the one that you do have, and let you know that he's still able.
I've been hurt and abused, even lied to by the ones I trusted most. I've had some nights I cried more than I prayed. That's when God said to me, I am still in control.
Changed my perspective, and so
now the worry is over,
yes.
And the doubt is gone away. God reminded me,
he reminded me
that he's still able. God reminded me
that in spite of it all,
that he's still able.
Thank you, Lord. Question.
I'm afraid to carry this hurt all alone.
Today more than ever,
I need your help, Lord. With you I can move on. Now the worry is over and the doubt is gone away.
I'm not alone.
Able.
Able.
In the hospital.
Able.
In the courthouse.
Able.
Even in Oh, whispering God.
God reminding me still that he's still able.
I know I can make it because
God reminded me
that he's still able.
Oh.
I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6@gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6@gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen. And now it is time for Timothy Gruber and his Hebrew word of the week. Amen.
The Hebrew word for this week is Yeshua, word for salvation, and also the way you say the name Jesus. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 declare, Behold, God is my Yeshua, salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation, Yeshua. Therefore, rejoice when ye draw water out of the wells of salvation, Yeshua. Lord Jesus, Jehovah, saves Jehovah, Jehovah, Jesus eternal, having obtained victory against hell, again, that's Jehovah, Jesus eternal, having obtained victory against hell, and the word Yeshua, salvation, also the way you say, Jesus, therefore rejoice that you draw water out of the wells of salvation, Yeshua, and John, chapter 4, Yeshua, salvation himself, declared, that he himself was and is the living water. Of him if a man partake, indeed he shall never thirst. And in another context, in the Gospel of John, the same salvation, the same Yeshua declares that those who believe on him, out of their belt shall flow rivers of living water. So come and draw water out of the wells of salvation, Yeshua. Today, by faith in Yeshua's salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah God, manifest in the flesh, for he indeed is and will be your strength. For when we forget without strength in due time, Christ, Yeshua, died to the ungodly. Okay, Kenny.
And that was our Hebrew word of the week by Timothy Gruber, and we say, God bless. Amen. Amen. Nice word to start us off with on our first Hebrew word of the week, talking about Jesus and salvation. And the question is, do you know that Yeshua? Do you know that salvation that is only through the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen. So we're going to get moving here with some more boogie music as we fast approach Roost Bible Prophecy, as well as Pastor Bonnet, as he tries to continue his role of keeping the good buzzer. Does he do it again tonight? We'll find out. Amen.
Hey, Kenny.
Hey, Kenny.
Okay.
Just wanted to tell you on behalf of both Mom and I, thanks for both those songs.
Say again?
I said on behalf of both Mom and I, thank you for those two songs.
You're welcome. All right. And we're going to now go into our next song. And we're going to be talking about a Sunday kind of love in this next song. Amen.
Everything will be alright. It makes me wanna say thank you, Lord, for all you've done and all the love this woman gives to me. She gives me something to believe.
I'm brand new. know one thing's true. I don't even really deserve to know you, but I'm a witness that you did this, and I'm brand new. So I'm ready to go, and I'ma tell the world what they need to know. I slave to myself, but you let me go. I tried getting high, but it left me low. You did what they could never do. You cleaned up my soul and gave me life. I'm so brand new, and that's all that matters. I ain't love you first, but you first loved me. In my heart I cursed you, but you set me free. I gave you no reason to give me new seasons, to give me new life, new breathing. But you hung there bleeding, you died for my lies and my cheating, my lust and my greed. What is a man that you mindful of him? And what do I have to deserve his loving?
Trying to make the moments last, holding on to the past. Was like a hero in a dream. Christ came and he rescued me.
Now I'ma tell the world, tell the world, tell her.
I'ma tell it everywhere I go, tell the world, tell her. Yeah, I'ma feel bold.
Put your carrot counters, keep coming. And your love is so unconditional, like it's butterflies in my stomach. I got the old me in a rear view, not a new me, got a clear view. I was so dead I couldn't hear you. Too deep to sin to come near you. But you pull me in, you clean me up, then take me home, beam me up. Before you do, just let me tell the truth and let the folks know that I done seen your love. And it's everlasting, infinite, it goes on and on. You can't measure it, can't quit your love, they can't separate us from the love of God. There's no estimate. My face looks the same, my brain can rearrange, but I'm changed. I promise I ain't the same. Your love so deep, you suffered and took pain. You died on the cross to give me a new name. Ain't nothing like I seen before. I got a beam of glory. I was low down and dirty, but you clean me, Lord. You adopted me, you keep rocking me. I'ma tell the world, and ain't nobody stopping me.
Trying to make the moments last, holding on to the past. Was like a hero in a dream. Christ came and he rescued me.
Now I'ma tell the world.
We got something to say. You know? It's one of those joints here. Londa?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Check us out. You know? It's time to change. Londa?
I see him. Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2. F-O-R, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now. Hey, baby, I will be there shortly. Hope you are there. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen. All right, tonight we're going to be speaking on a subject that somebody asked us about, kind of continuing on from last week, about giving a deaf ear. Now, what does the Bible say about if you're giving somebody else a deaf ear? Well, basically, even though there's not a verse specifically catered to that, but it does tell us about that attitude. It tells us in Matthew chapter 7. It says, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye to them likewise, for this is the law and the prophets. Notice it says, this is, present tense, the law and the prophets. Jesus went on to say, notice, as ye would that men should do to you. Not wait till they start doing to you, and then you reciprocate and do to them in response. But no, you do to them first. So, no, you don't worry about them giving you the deaf ear, and then say, oh, well, this is how I'm going to respond. No, it says how you respond. If you don't want someone giving you the deaf ear, then you should not be giving them a deaf ear. Don't worry about what they do. Let them answer to God, because it is them who will ultimately answer to God for what they're doing. But it is you that we're talking about. We're talking about you. The Bible says what you do is the problem. So if you are the one giving the deaf ear, the Bible says, as ye, that's you, would that men should do to you, do you likewise unto them. See, it's you who are the problem. It's you first. Then you go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Whatsoever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me. Would you give Jesus a deaf ear? If your answer is no, would you give Jesus the silence treatment? Would you ignore Jesus? If your answer is no, then you shouldn't do it to others. See, it's not about what they're doing to you. Remember, once again, let them answer to God for what they're doing. They will answer to God for what they're doing. On the other hand, you will answer to God for what you're doing. That's the unique thing about being a Christian. That's the unique about Christianity. You answer for your own self. It is a unique thing. It is a personal thing. Each person answers for their own self. Whatsoever you want men to do to you, it's you. Whatsoever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do to me. So the way you treat others, you're treating Christ. So would you treat Christ that way? Well, that's the question. That is the big question. Would you treat Christ that way? In Psalm chapter 1, or first division of Psalm, be Psalm 1. It talks about that the believer, the righteous, are not so. They are not to be the same way as the ungodly. It gives us a comparison between the two. The ungodly are like the chaff that are blown away, but the righteous are not that way. Which one are you? When you look at Psalm 15, 15 division of Psalm, it tells us, it says, in very simple English, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. He that doth not a reproach against his neighbor. Do you backbite with your tongue? Do you go and tell your neighbor that, not by talking to him directly, not saying to him directly, but would you say to him, unverbally, without your mouth, but by your actions, I don't want to talk to you? The big question is, do you tell your neighbor? Do you cut him down? Do you backbite him? Stab him in the back? Because when you backbite or stab your brother in the back, you do that, yes, by giving a deaf ear. When you're not listening, when you don't want to hear what they have to say, has somebody told you something? And then you didn't listen? You talked over them? See, you may be worried about someone not listening to you, but how about you not listening to them? See, you need to practice what you preach. The fact is, it's a two-way street when it comes to listening. He that taketh not up a reproach against his neighbor, that reproach is anger. Getting angry against your neighbor. And then it goes on to say, one of the most things that I love in Psalm 15, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. Have you ever made a promise and kept it even when you knew that it would hurt you in the end? Well, that comes even when it comes to listening. Make the promise to yourself that no matter what, you're going to listen even when it hurts yourself. When you want to sit there and talk. Hey, go look in the mirror. God gave you a sermon right there on your own head. He gave you a sermon there that he's preaching every day to you. And have you heeded that message? You say, what message? What sermon? How many mouths do you have? Well, I got 28 teeth. I didn't say that. I said, how many mouths? And how many ears do you have? If you want to get technical about the parts of your mouth, well, you only got 28 teeth, but you got millions hair follicles in your cornucopias, known as your inner ear. So you got more parts to your ear than you do to your mouth. So there's a sermon in itself. You should listen a lot more than be wanted to be treated. And the way you would treat Christ is the way you need to act first. Amen. So that's our message about the deaf ear tonight. And we hope it's been a blessing to you. And we will catch you next week with our next little message. Amen. All right, now it is time to see if Pastor Bonnet could tell us what the common message is between this song and this poem. Amen.
Well, I had 2 weeks vacation coming, so I thought I'd drive down to Florida, spend some time with an old friend, date a few girls, make a few parties, and just kind of live it up again. So I packed up my car, and then I called my mom in Tennessee, told her what I'd planned to do. And she said, son, are you coming by? And I said, Mom, I'm ready to push for time. But, honey, I'll see you in a week or two. And I was driving through this little town in Georgia when I remembered the day is Mama's birthday. Well, I thought I'd just stop and wire some flowers. Shouldn't take too long, then I'd be on my way. So I walked in the flower shop, and the first thing I saw was this little boy with his eyes full of tears. And I said, son, what's wrong? And he said, Mama loves roses, and today's her birthday, and I haven't seen her in almost a year. I live with Grandpa now, but I promised Mama some roses, because I talk to her all the time. I wanted to give her five, because that's how old I am. But the lady said I couldn't buy them for just a dime. Well, the little fella's story kind of touched my heart. So I told the lady, just give him what he wanted and charge it to me. Well, that's when I told her to wire a dozen roses to my mama up in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. Well, I looked around, the little boy was gone. But all of a sudden, the door flew open and he came running back in. And he said, mister, I forgot to thank you for the roses. He smiled and shook my hand and ran back out again. Well, I started on out of town. And I was feeling real proud of myself for thinking of my mama and really caring. When I looked out my window, I saw that same little boy kneeling by a grave in an old cemetery. Well, I stopped my car and walked over to where the little boy was kneeling down. And he smiled up at me and he said, this is where my mama stays. She says she sure does thank you for these pretty roses. Well, that's when I had to walk away. And I drove right back to that flower shop and I said, lady, have you sent those flowers to Tennessee? And she said, no, not yet. And I said, well, just never mind. I'll just take them back with me.
She was my mother. She was love. God sent her to us from above. No great careers, no one great deed could give her fame to fortune mean. As I recall her smiling face, I see a queen of stately grace. She wove a life of golden lace that time and tears cannot erase. She was my mother. She gave the most that there was to give. She knew no other way to live. She never wanted wealth or gold. Wounds she trained could not be sold. As memoirs of time unfold, I feel the love her life did hold. When her heart could give no more, God opened up another door to paradise and joys unknown, to reap the love so dearly sown. In obeying God, she truly won. He chose to give her peace and sweet repose. The work is over, new life begun. In obeying God, she truly won.
All right, Pastor Bonnet, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us a common message between the two?
All right. Wonderful timing. I tell you, we just celebrated Mother's Day, and both of these songs and poems were a tribute to Mother. There's a praise in our community that says, to give Mama her flowers while she's alive. And I think that's what this poem and this song was about, celebrating Mother while she's here, giving thanks to God for the mother, because when she's gone, she's on with him. So I think the common theme between the two poems would be to not just celebrate, but thank God for mothers, for your mom while she's here, for the Lord take her home. So that would be my thought concerning this, you know, giving mama her flowers. So thank God for mama while she's here.
Well, you hit that one square between the eyes. I was wondering if you'd get that one, because that one didn't have a spiritual theme. That one had the physical theme of giving your mama her flowers while she yet lived, and you did get that one. I was wondering if you would. So you did get that one. Amen.
All right, yeah, I don't have to blow up the little negative buzzer. So I'm glad I got it. I'm always remembering my mom because she was just dear to me. My mom introduced me and my brothers and sisters to Christ at a young age. She prayed with us often. She made sure we prayed. And so she taught us how to love God. And so I'm so thankful for my mom. So, and we just celebrated Mother's Day. So I'm telling you, but I don't need.
Hey, Kenny, I ain't hearing nothing, buddy.
Turning into a pillow of salt was read from Scripture as discussed at any length. The salty waters of the Dead Sea, under which Sodom and Gomorrah lie, buried testify to the fact that they sting your tongue, and that for hours you cannot get rid of the nauseating taste which the burning brimstone dropped into the body of water, along with the salt, which is deposited in that area at the time of the great conflagration when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. May I just say most emphatically that according to Scriptures, which we have contained in this Bible, 66 books, there's absolutely no conflict or argument between the Bible and true science. The Word of God sets forth certain statements, not necessarily always explaining those statements, and then true science will, when it has occasion to examine and evaluate the facts, always agrees completely with the Bible. I stand true science always agrees completely with the Bible. For instance, if one looks up into the sky on a clear, bright night, he beholds an innumerable host of little shining lights, which seem to twinkle. We call these lights the stars. The first mentioning of stars is in the first book of the Bible, Genesis. That's what Genesis means, beginning. Here is just a simple five-word statement to declare that God made the stars. Scripture, he made the stars also, Genesis 1:16 in the King James Version. You will note in this simple declaration of God's creation of the stars that no explanation whatsoever is contained in it. God merely uses five little words to declare unto mankind that he made the stars. Nothing else is revealed at this particular first mentioning. But in recent years, at various scientific explorations have been carried on, new light of understanding have been shed on these five words, he made the stars also. Several of the astronauts, having observed from their positions high above the earth that the stars did not have a twinkling effect, but they were steady, bright, shining lights. Doesn't that show you? For long centuries, mankind has been puzzled as to the reason why the stars, which God originally placed up in the second heaven as bright, shining lights, twinkle or seem to twinkle. We're now discovering that what was written in the book of Job about 3,500 years ago is really the scientific explanation for the twinkling of the stars. 35 centuries ago, Job recorded that in the beginning of the creation of this earth, God wrapped his present planet in a thick blanket of darkness. Let us read this first from God's word. When I made the cloud of the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it. Job 38:9 in the King James Version. At the time of creation, God placed this thick blanket of darkness in the first heaven, where the darkness and the clouds are located, together with the clouds as a garment, covering from this earth. Then later, when he created the sun, moon, and stars, he placed them in orbit around the earth out in the second heaven. And God made two great lights, the greater light, the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. He made the stars also. Genesis 1:16, of course, in your King James Version. As the astronauts who have ascended into outer space have ascended back to the earth, practically all of them have told us that they were strikingly impressed by the vast blanket of inky black darkness which is wrapped around the earth. Some of them at an extreme height above the earth received remarkably clear views of the second heaven where the sun, moon, and stars are located. They're impressed with the fact that the stars were not actually twinkling as we on earth have thought for so many centuries, but because the stars were penetrating their light to us down here on the earth through the first heaven where the clouds and darkness are located, they appear to be twinkling. In all reality, they are not twinkling. They're really steady, bright, shining lights. Thus, there is no conflict between the Bible and true science. True science merely makes a systematized observation, a study and experimentation of a particular given subject. Invariably, true science always arrives at the same conclusion as was projected in the first mentioning of that particular subject in the Bible. During explorations in one of the lower valleys of Southern California, in the process of drilling a deep 6,000-foot hole into the earth and oil drilling from thought, they had an oil strike. It sounded like an oil well was coming in, and everyone was hilariously over the fact that the black gold was about to be discovered in the desert of Southern California. But when the gusher came in, it was only hissing white steam. For some time, scientists have scoffed at the idea of this present earth being on fire, but geologists are digging down through the Earth's crust, and they are finding that this globe is an incandescent, molten, burning, ever-ready-to-erupt volcano. The lava which has poured forth from the mouths of such volcanoes as Vesuvius, Etna, and others is absolute proof that the Word of God is far up ahead of science. There are coal mines throughout the world that have been on fire for many years. The Bible tells us that the heart of this earth was set afire by God himself, and the fire is slowly burning outward, consuming the crust of the earth, and will eventually destroy and consume the foundations of the mountains. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn upon the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Deuteronomy 33:22. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible, and they contain various descriptions of creation, God's dealings with lost mankind, the story of redemption, and the coming again of God's King. These chapters will continue to stand firm and true until the blessed pages of the inspired book disintegrate in the final fires, which God's word says are already kindled and getting hotter from the flames of 1,000 atomic explosions, such as the one experienced at Hiroshima. There's no conflict between the Bible and true science. Every scientific discovery only affirms ancient scripture. The Bible's the only book in all the world in which you can place your complete trust and confidence. It has weathered the hate of the agnostics through long ancient centuries and will stand fresh and true until the last pilgrim has been waved through the gates of glory. It's the book of eternity. The scientific revelations are currently being given to inquisitive mankind as positive proof and absolute confirmation of age-old mysteries which have been written on the pages of God's holy word for many centuries. For instance, in the ages before Adam was created, the Bible tells us the entire surface of the earth was covered with water. Scripture, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Genesis 1:9. This verse of Old Testament scripture tells us, and in the ages before God created Adam, the entire surface of this present earth was covered over with water. Nowhere did dry land appear or protrude out of the water, but in order that one-fourth of the surface of the earth might become dry, tillable land upon which mankind would be able to provide a living for himself. God had to prepare special basins in the earth's surface to gather or contain the water. The Bible tells us he called those special places seas. And God called the dry land earth and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. Genesis 1:10 KJV. Which controlled the vast amount of water which became three-fourths of the earth's surface, necessary that some kind of a retaining wall or buffer zone be placed along the edge of the seashore. From our experience, we know that concrete, steel, rocks, or other heavy objects have not proven successful. God placed the sand along the seashore to retain the waters of the seas. scripture, or who shut up the sea with doors and set bars and doors and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed. Job 38:8-11, KJV. God realized that because of death, decay, and petrifaction, the physical earth must constantly be cleansed of its impurities and filthiness. One of the cleansing methods is a truly marvelous arrangement by which the tides gently wash the coastlines of the earth every 12 hours. Through the process of a gentle tipping of the earth's surface, which slowly lowers the coastline into the sea, and after the cleansing, slowly brings it back up, dipping the coast on the opposite side of the land into the sea, God is able to keep the earth surgically clean. This systematic continuing process is called tides, because a thick belt of sand around the seashores and the gentle tipping of the earth to produce tides. This wonderful scientific cleansing has been going on for long centuries without one failure. We must remember, the sea is a very necessary part of this earth system. Because of its salt solution, the sea is actually a preserving force. Refuse from the earth more or less flows into the sewers. Sewers emptied into the filtering plants. The filtering plants drain their waste into the rivers, and the rivers flow into one of the seven seas. The tides carry the debris and all contamination out to the depths of the sea, and all this waste and foreign matter is consumed by scavenger fish, which God created and placed in the seas on the fifth day of creation. Scripture, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. Genesis 1:20, King James Version. Any refuse or contamination left in the sea by the fishes is finally purified through a special system whereby the seas and oceans are all connected together. The seawater filters down through the ocean beds into deep subterranean channels and is constantly boiled by the fierce fire in the lower regions of the earth, set ablaze by God and placed there for several reasons. For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn into the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Deuteronomy 32:22, KJV. This unique filtering system placed by God in the lower regions of the earth by which the seawater filters down through into caverns and is heated to an unusually high degree of heat by the fire in the bowels of the earth, he's spoken of in the Bible this way. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. Water spouts here refer to the inner ocean or connections between the different seas. Psalm 42:7. In case you may not fully understand the meaning of the words deep in this verse of scripture, it refers to the seas. It's further established in the first chapter of Genesis where we read, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, a body of water, Genesis 1:2, King James Version. Scientists have now discovered that there are more than 200 hot streams of water coming up through the ocean beds in different parts of the earth. These hot streams of water are known as Gulf Streams. For several hundreds of miles, water gradually ascends from the floor of the ocean up along the coastlines in some areas, bringing an unusual climate and unique marine growth caused solely by the fact that the water is warm. So it's able to supply life-giving qualities because of its degree of temperature. All this is brought about because God connected the various basins which hold the earth's water supply by tunnels, at the same time starting a fire in the lower regions of the earth, and this produces in the polluted seawater the same action that takes place in a coffee percolator. After the seawater has been filtered down into the depths of the sea, it's boiled and sterilized by the fire in the lower regions of the earth. This sterilization process is accelerated by the salt solution in the sea when it's boiled, and the same action takes place as that which takes place in a coffee-making machine. A filtering and cleansing of the seawater is the result. This is the manner in which the present earth is kept clean and sanitary day by day, month in and month out, and this process has been going on for long centuries. Therefore, there's no conflict between the Bible and true science. For many centuries, unbelieving scientists have tried to push Jehovah God from his sovereign throne, take control of his empire, and make the one book, which is God's great communication to the lost souls of the human race, appear obsolete and complete folly. Many are charging the Bible as an unscientific book. The Bible says that light was in existence before the sun was created. Naturally, the scientists want to know how this could have been possible, since the scientists say that all light comes from the sun. The Bible doesn't say that light comes from the sun, because light was made on the first day of creation. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Genesis 1, verses 3 through 5. The sun, moon, and stars were created on the fourth day. Scripture, and the God made two great lights, the greater light, the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. He made the stars also, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Genesis 1, 16 and 19. Problem contained in the assumption by the scientists that light comes from the sun is because of a misunderstanding on the part of man, not of God. The scientist doesn't have all the facts, and he jumps to speculative conclusions. In so doing, he makes tragic mistakes. Light doesn't come from the sun. Light was made on the first day of creation. Sun was made on the fourth day. The Bible and the two science always agree, so check up on the scientists to see if it's true or false. The Bible is always correct. Voltaire, the infamous atheist, said that the Bible account of the dissolving of the golden calf was a chemical impossibility. According to the knowledge of the scientists of his day, it appeared to him to be a chemical impossibility, but at the very moment he wrote, there was no less than a half a hundred shops in Paris where gold was held in solution. As modern scientists today knew, gold is dissolved as other metals are, showing no discrepancy between the Bible and true science. For long centuries, mankind has been continually disturbed regarding an explanation of three particular Bible verses, two in the Old Testament and one in the New. These verses contain a phrase for which there seems to be no feasible understanding in the realm of scientific explanation. Here's the first one. And he set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah 11 and verse 12. Here's the second verse. Also, Son of Man, saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, and the end is come upon the four corners of the land. Ezekiel 7, 2 in the King James Version. Here is the verse from the New Testament. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. For long centuries, unbelieving scientists have laughed up their proverbial sleeves at Christian men and women who believed that a round earth had four little corners, until recently we Bible believers have not been able to give an all-encompassing, feasible answer to their questions relative to a round earth having four corners. But the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory, through the medium of orbiting satellites, has made certain scientific measurements of the earth's land surface, and they have discovered that the earth does have four corners. Although the books of Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Revelation, and God's Word have told us for long centuries the earth has four corners, we have not had physical proof until recently. Through exact measurements, it has been established that there are four corners of the earth's surface, which are 228 higher than they would be if the earth was completely round. The four-cornered design has been established by calculating the changes in the orbits of globe-circling satellites, and the four corners of the earth are definitely established as a physical reality. One of the Earth's four corners centers over Ireland in the Northern Hemisphere. The second corner extends across the equator from New Guinea northward toward Japan. The third corner is south of Africa, centered about halfway to Antarctica, and the fourth corner is west of South America, which is a high point off Peru. Ever since Magellan proved that the Earth is round, scientists have been endeavoring to prove and he was completely wrong. Yet, through the medium of orbiting satellites, measurements of the Earth's surface have established the fact that Magellan was correct in believing the Earth round, while at the same time they had reaffirmed the three courses or verses of ancient scripture stating the Earth has four corners. There's no conflict between the Bible and true science. In his holy word, God oftentimes merely makes mention of a specific situation or circumstance, and then for some reason, which we dare not question, he does not give an explanation. Perfect example of this is the creation of the stars, where he gives only five words in describing their creation. He made the stars also. Down through the years, science has been much like the little boy who, at the age of 13, considered his father one of the most ignorant men he had ever known. Then at the age of 21, the young man, grown to early manhood, was amazed at what his father had learned in such a short time. God knows the end of the thing before the beginning. Everything in existence today was brought into being by God. Mankind is growing up into adulthood, as it were, and man is beginning to discover and be amazed at how much God really knows. There's absolutely no conflict between scripture and true science. As I have said, the great architect of the universe, brought everything into being, and in his holy book, the Bible, we have various statements known as first mentionings. These first mentionings of various phases, the creation of the universe, God merely sets forth the principle or the cause involved, such as the sun, moon, stars, seas, clouds, and so forth. God is not honor-bound to explain anything. He can merely declare it and leave it there. We have a tremendous upsurge of scientific knowledge permeating the minds of a great segment of our population, and these so-called scientists who did not accept the Bible as the Word of God have become intellectually intoxicated with their newfound learning. Actually, in no wise do they discredit the Word of God. We who are familiar with God's holy Word, we who in some cases have spent half a lifetime or longer studying it, see in these scientific findings not a disapproval or refuting of God's Word, but rather a confirmation of that Word, the Bible. A perfect example of the situation has become a reality since the perfection of the 200-inch telescope on Mr. Palomar in Southern California. I have a resident of Southern California. My family, not me. During the years when the observatory was being built high on a mountain away from the smog and industrial smoke of Los Angeles to give scientists clear observation of the heavenly bodies, I visited Mount Palomar during early construction days before the telescope was installed and later since it has become man's front door to the universe. I before an actual photograph issued by the Palomar Observatory in Southern California, and it shows a 144,000-mile high frame on the surface of the sun. It's a fantastic picture, brings out what I've been saying, true science really confirms scripture. The photograph confirms the Word of God is recorded in the book of Revelation, in the last book of the Bible. There are several references which discuss the lake of fire. One of the verses has to do with the completion of the great white throne judgment, which time every unbeliever of all ages will stand before Jesus Christ, who will be the judge at that judgment. And if his name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says he'll be cast into the lake of fire. Here's a scripture. Whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. That's Revelation 20:15, KJV. For many years, the agnostic, the scoffer, and run-of-the-mill unbeliever has laughed up his proverbial sleeve because he could not see with his own eyes the lake of fire which God discusses in the Book of Revelation. From all physical appearances, no such lake exists, according to the unbeliever, so he has felt secure in his unbelief and is scoffing that an actual hell does not exist. But through the 200-inch telescope on Mount Palomar in Southern California, through the medium of photographic satellites circling the Earth, and through the scientific advancement of photography and optics, we now have an actual photograph of the lake of fire, which is the sun, S-U-N, which is to become the second death, Revelation 20:14-15 in KJV. This revelation of scientific discovery continues to prove and confirm the fact that God knew what he was talking about in the first place when he had his secretaries of old record on pages of Holy Writ that there was a lake of fire. There is no actual conflict between scripture and true science. The Word sets forth the declaration, and science declares that such is an actuality, that is the true science. We're living in days of tremendous scientific discovery, days in which the world has become hungry intellectually, days when truth is treated more lightly and when it's disregarded by the masses of humanity. Let me conclude this section of our book, or lesson, I'm sorry, by making two statements to which I invite you to note very carefully. There's no conflict between Holy Scripture and true science. There are two things which God is anxious about, two things he will act upon in a quick manner. One is to save a repentant sinner, and the other is to comfort a dear one in bereavement. God is ever willing to spread a canopy of grace and understanding over those who have placed a loved one beneath the sod. He is even more anxious to save anyone who will come to him repenting of his sins so that God, through his Son Jesus Christ, might give him forgiveness of sins. Write his name in the Lamb's Book of Life and start him down the straight and narrow way, which leads in eternal happiness and eternal life. Creating this universe and all of its component elements, God knew what he was doing, and his will and his great overall plan has not changed one iota. The Bible and true science agree perfectly. Next lesson will be the Bible, God's Word.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, number 4. Again, that's $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen. And finally, if you wish to get this program or any other on your phone, on your for yourself, and get the notes from it, you can go to your smartphone or tablet and go to the podcast section and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Click on that on your search box, and once you have it, you just go to the upper right-hand corner and click subscribe. For you Android users, you first want to download the app iHeartRadio. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, you go on to iHeartRadio, enter Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O, and we will pop up there, and you click subscribe once again. And so that's how you get us on demand 7 days a week. Amen. And so we are going to see who do we got left with us, Ruth?
We still got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels, which are always there. Then we have Emily and you, her dad and me.
Okay, Emily, do you want to give us a closing prayer, or how do you want to work that tonight?
I was being bad while I was on mute, Kenny, I've got to be honest.
Well, be good and give us a closing prayer. How do you think?
Oh, I'll tell you afterwards what I was doing, okay?
All right.
Okay. Lord, I thank you for this broadcast tonight. Lord, I ask that everything we did and said here was pleasing in your sight, Lord. I also ask for that soul who's nearest hell, that they would surrender, reeling up the white flag, surrendering to you, saying, I yield, I yield. I also ask for anybody who's dealing with COVID-19, is that you would bring them up out of bed reflection back to their health. Anybody who has lost anyone due to this COVID-19, Lord, that you just comfort them only as you can. I also ask for the patients, the staff, and any of the facilities, whether it's hospital, nursing home, rehab centers, that you'd be with them and comfort them only as you can, Lord. I ask this all in your name. Amen.
All right. And so we want to invite you tomorrow night, Jumbo Braille Program, 9 p.m., for Dr. Doug Quick as he continues his series on growing in grace. So we want to say good night, God bless, from the Six Eyes Radio Network, and we'll catch you tomorrow. God bless everybody.
God bless everyone.